Ladies and gentlemen, this is the World Series of Politics, where Brendan Bussman and Brant Iden race through the turn on key legislative and regulatory developments around the gaming world. As these two come up to the green flag, let's get into this race for expansion and opportunity for the industry to grow until we hit the checkered flag on another episode of the World Series of Politics.
Three, two, one, over to you.
Welcome back to another World Series of Politics podcast. I'm your host, Brant Iden, broadcasting from the city that never sleeps, the Big Apple, New York City, where we thought we were going to get Brendan Bussman, but once again, our international man of mystery is back home for the first time in a long time. Brendan, I guess, welcome back to Vegas. Welcome home. How are you?
I am in the other city that never sleeps along the way. And I do apologize that I will not be able to have dinner with you and John, our guest that we'll introduce here in a second tonight. But duty calls, and I had to come back to the mothership for a meeting today. So, you know, it happens.
Well, it is great to see you, and it is great to see you in good spirits. Of course, I saw you on the camera from afar when you were in Nebraska. We're going to talk about that. But you're all over the place, man. So it's good to see you. We do.
Well,
that's
why
I
am the international man of mystery.
You are the international man of mystery. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
Look, we've got a great guest. And I was thinking earlier today, how do I introduce John Pappas? Well, it goes back a long way, my relationship with John. And I had to think about this. But actually, when I was in the legislature, I first met John when he testified before my committee, even probably before that when he first called me. I think I met both of you. Jokers about the same time. Actually, I can say that because I love you guys. About the same time, I think, as I think about it, our relationship goes back a decade. We have the very famous John Pappas with us today. International lobbyist, man of mystery, John Pappas. John, how are you?
Good. I'm glad you said famous, not infamous.
That's right. That's right.
Which is more, which means more than famous, of course, as we know.
Yeah. Of course. Yes. Of course it does.
Yeah.
We are going to talk about a number of different things today. John, you've been very active on a number of issues. You've been out there as we've been working through these states on of course, very forward in your thoughts on iGaming, what's been going on in those states. I want to talk about that. I want to jump right in, though, to one of your recent tweets I saw on can I even call it a tweet anymore? I don't know. One of your ex posts real recently as it relates to an article that came out. Obviously, there's a lot of conversation about CFTC, futures contracts. That's a big discussion in the industry right now. You recently put out a post as it related to Campaign for Fair Gambling and an article that was posted that you retweeted, made some comments about, and you sort of said, look, there's a bit of hypocrisy coming from Campaign for Fair Gambling on this issue of futures contracts. I want to jump right in with a controversial issue, and I want to ask you about that post and your thoughts about that.
Sure. Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad someone's actually reading what I post on X or Twitter. But it just was so striking to me. The Campaign for Fair Gambling has been out for a couple years and really aggressive in state capitals, talking about the ills of sports betting, the ills of online gambling, and why it's a bad bet for consumers and why we need to reform it, and pushing for some federal standards. And then, surprisingly, when there was a comment period for the CFTC's sports event contracts, and I'm not here to take a position on whether they're gambling or not gambling.
I don't know
the answer to the question. That's going to be decided eventually somewhere, either in a court or by the CFTC themselves. But bizarrely, recognizing that these are activities that look very much like gambling, this organization took a total pass. And not only a pass, they just said, not only do these present no harm, we think that they should move forward as is without any real meaningful RG controls or regulation. And I just found that striking and stunning from a group that spent so much time arguing against regulated online gaming and sports betting to then say, well, this thing that looks like online gambling and sports betting, well, don't worry about that. Don't look over here, because let that happen. But everything else is bad. And it just was a really, I think, odd position. And I thought the article that Gene Johnson put together was really exposed that hypocrisy and really kind of dove into like what could this group's motivations be? And it really, I think, calls into questions like what is the motivations of this group? Are they really about making it the games and the environment safer for consumers, or are they really angling for something else that positions the founder of the organization, Derek Webb, and others associated with it in a beneficial position when there's some sort of a federal regulatory scheme? And so I think it calls into a question their real motives and really like how can they be taken seriously when they tell a state lawmaker, you can't do this properly. But when they just say, oh, CFTC, you're a derivatives regulator, you're good with regulating sports betting without any oversight at all.
John, I read the article too. You and I've had lots of conversations about it. And anybody that listens to this podcast know that I've referred to the Campaign for Fair Gambling as basically an affiliate for the illegal market, as it relates to that. But we're sitting here in March. It's Problem Gambling Month. How do these guys sit silent and just take a pass on this over this, especially when some of their people are experts and advocates supposedly on this issue?
It does. It raises an interesting question. I'm not certain how anyone can just say that this is, there's nothing to see here. Don't worry about this. Focus on what's happening at the state level where there's real regulations in place to help those with problem gambling, where there's real relationships with, organizations to make sure that people get the treatment that they need, that there's real money being, spent on problem gambling education and treatment, and operators are contributing to those funds. That's not happening under the CFTC futures contracts. There's no, I mean, the whole point of those contracts is to say that they are not gambling, right? So they're not even acknowledging that they're gambling. They're, hiding behind the idea that they are some sort of a financial contract, and I'm not saying that they aren't. What I'm saying is that if you don't recognize that there is a potential for RG concerns there, yet you're going after state regulators for what they're doing in a very proactive way to address these issues, it just seems hypocritical.
Yeah, I mean, I found the article very interesting, and it really throws some questions out there that the reader can sort of interpret however they want. But really, it's sort of what is Campaign for Fair Gambling? What's their interest then? And the article really calls that into question. Is this just simply another avenue for Derek Webb to make money? And it basically sort of points that out in the article. It's certainly, again, it's for the reader to determine whether or not they believe that after, the information that's been out there. But it's one of the questions I think that's fair to ask. I want to move on because I know we're limited on time and we're bouncing around. I want to get to some states and talk about what's going on out there. But I also want to talk about iGaming. Obviously, John, you've spent a lot of your career in iGaming. You know the industry very well. The industry's changed a lot over the past few years, as we know, even from the time when I passed the legislation in Michigan to where we are today. There's been a lot of advancements, a lot of changes, and lobbying has changed on this issue. We are now seeing a group out there that's sort of come into play that is a group that's sort of a national group that's formed of operators that are opposed to iGaming. And we're seeing that, right? And they've been very vocal. We've seen them in state capitals. I've experienced them. When I get up to publicly testify, I know you've seen the same. What's very interesting to me is some of these same operators actually participate in iGaming. And I know you've called that into question a few times. Talk to me a little bit about that and sort of your thoughts on, that group and where the industry goes with that, given that opposition that's out there, and how effective have they been, in some of these states?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think when we think about iGaming, we have to think about it in a big picture, right? And in my view, online gambling isn't just playing a casino game online. It's anything that you're doing where you're putting money up to win money, right? That is online gambling. I, for a long time, have argued that poker is a game of skill. Yet, even though poker is a game of skill, it is still gambling, right? So anything that you're doing online where you're spending money and getting money in return for that. Or that risk is online gambling. So whether that's horse racing, whether that's a lottery, these are all forms of online gambling. And believe it or not, pretty much everyone in this industry is touching online gambling in some form of another, whether it's a social game, a sweepstakes game, an online lottery, a courier lottery, whatever it is, I don't think there's any, if you will, clean hands, if you will, on online gaming. Our position, I work with a number of companies and the association, the Eye Development Economic Association, IDEA, is that, hey, if it's happening online, it should be licensed, it should be regulated, it should be taxed, consumers should be protected, right? And yet there are organizations that have formed. You mentioned, I don't even, NAG, I think is maybe the way you
That's my
pronounce it,
turtle. That's what it is. It's an egg.
National Association Against iGaming, two of its prominent members are involved in iGaming. Oh, big surprise, right? These are big major casino companies that are involved in iGaming, yet they are opposed to iGaming. So it's really again, the thing that calls into question is our opposition really a philosophical one, and one that they don't believe that iGaming is a good business, or is it because they don't want iGaming when it's not a good business for them, right? So that there's a big difference between recognizing the opportunity for iGaming to make money and protect consumers and everything else that we think that a regulated market should be able to do, but then there's the position that, well, it's good only when I benefit entirely from it. And that's the problem I think I have when companies come out there and say, hey, iGaming is bad, iGaming is destructive, iGaming does this, but don't look at what I do here in this state because I do iGaming here. And don't look at the fact that I run an online horse racing platform that runs across all 50 states, and accepts wagers from people 18 and over. Don't look at that because that's not iGaming. But in reality, it is, yet you're arguing against it in a particular market because you might not be best positioned to capitalize on that market. I think that is a really difficult position for the industry to take, and I'm hoping that lawmakers see through that hypocrisy.
Well, nothing spells hypocrisy like Twin Spires along the way. But
Uh-oh.
I'll
You
just say
know, Brendan, I let those, I let those, a lot of those pitches go by, John. So just, let him just keep going.
Hey, John, I've been quoted in the paper for it. I have no issue with it. I'll say that.
Did my internet go out there? Did my internet go out there?
I obviously there
Oh,
wasn't there.
it's all
Yeah,
good.
I'm
It's all
sorry.
good. It's all good.
And moving right along, Brendan. All right, with the question.
So, John, as an industry, as states are needing more revenue, because that conversation's going to come up, especially with the feds further cutting money, whether that be, in Medicaid dollars or just general, funds that are no longer coming. We still have some battles ahead this year, I think, where there's going to be needing for new revenue sources along the way. What can we do as an industry proactively start getting out that message that combats the negativity that NAG is doing and the hypocrisy that exists with some of their members?
Well, I mean, I think certainly the revenue side is one thing, and the arguments here on the revenue I think are pretty compelling. You look at a state like Michigan, or New Jersey or Pennsylvania, where the revenue is from iGaming is tremendous, and it's not causing a drag on other parts of the regulated gaming industry, land-based or otherwise. So it's actually been additive there. So that's certainly an important thing. It's something that those groups will contest and say it's not true, but the facts are the facts. Like they're presenting hypotheticals and what could happen. We're able to present this is what has happened in these markets where iGaming and land-based gaming coexist. So that's really important, is to make sure to cut through the noise of this cannibalization argument to talk about, hey, this is actually an additive, accretive product, not one that takes away from the land-based businesses, and which is going to create more revenue. In every state that has legalized iGaming alongside with land-based gambling, more revenue has been generated for the state. And that's a really important message for lawmakers, right? Like ultimately they want the revenue. So the revenue side portion aside, we also have to recognize that, hey, there are some smaller casino companies that aren't going to feel like they are going to compete in this big internet gaming marketplace because they don't have the reach. And this is not only for land-based commercial casinos, but also tribal casinos. So figuring out ways from an industry standpoint, and this is more business to business, like how can we make it so that there is an incentive for these smaller casinos to participate in the iGaming market? How can they gain more customers to their land-based business? How can they make sure that they have a meaningful piece of the online gaming pie? I think that's really important. That's really where I think this opposition comes from. It's not because they're morally opposed. It's just they haven't figured out how do they make money doing this,
Sure. Right.
and they're scared. And I get that. So like I think as an industry, we need to do better of understanding or working with these companies to say, hey, here's how you're going to make money in this market. Here's how everybody makes money. And for lawmakers, that gives them peace of mind because they want to make sure all of their constituents are being taken care of. And then beyond that, and those are their business constituents. But then beyond that, they're real constituents. We want to make sure that the people that are today gambling on a Bovada casino or a Lucky Ducky slots casino today have access to a Fanatics or BetMGM or a Caesars or even a Cordish online casino
Sure.
because they want. Consumers want and deserve safe, regulated options. And right now, they don't know what's legal. They don't know what's regulated. They don't know if they put their money on, if they're going to get their money off. So there are a tremendous amount of arguments for lawmakers to say, okay, not only are we going to get money, not only are we going to protect consumers, but that third piece, which I think is where industry really needs to focus now, is how do we make it so that iGaming is something that works for everyone in the industry, not just for some of the biggest companies.
Great point. All right, John, we got 3 minutes left, and I want to cover a few states with you. I just want to talk. I mean, this is where you get to get your crystal ball out. This is where, this is what we get paid the big money for, right? Here we go. Look, as we look at and I know we haven't talked about OSB much on this call at all. I mean, in fact, probably at all, in fact. But as we look at OSB, as we look at iGaming, you look at the map, the session days we have left. You tell me, what are the chances we're going to see some passage of any expansion this year in any states? And if so, what do you got for
Mahalo, that's what I have to say.
There you go. There you go. All right.
No, I mean, Hawaii is looking like one of the one like really kind of. If you would have told me, 6 months ago that Hawaii would be on the board at this time of the year, I would have laughed at you.
I'd have never taken the bet. I
Yeah,
did.
but
There's no way I thought.
so states like Hawaii are still very much on the board for this year. I'm looking at Nebraska, where there was a hearing this week on legislation. I don't know if we'll get enabling legislation passed, but certainly the opportunity for voters to vote on the issue. I think that's where things are trending in Nebraska. Minnesota is kind of a white whale for a lot of folks because you had this perfect storm of agreement amongst all these different stakeholders, but now since then you've had a complete explosion of the legislative body. In Minnesota, where you've got essentially a tied legislature in both the House and the Senate, which creates complete stalemate. So that's a state where that's one of those things where things may come together in the final weeks of the session, which will be sometime middle of May. So that's kind of on the sports betting side, things that we're still looking at on iGaming. That the conversation is still very much active in states like Maryland, Illinois. There's discussions going just starting this week on iGaming. A lot of that has to do with filling budget gaps, but I think there's also this growing recognition that, hey, this is happening today in an unregulated fashion. How do we capture the revenue? How do we capture the consumer protection? So, I mean, I think there's still some states in play. I had a great call earlier this week with some lawmakers from Massachusetts who are working on iGaming legislation. They really see this as something that they want to push, and they're getting support from some of their leaders there. So, I think there's still a number of ticks on the board. We've lost a few already, right? Georgia came and went.
And
That
the illegal
not.
bookies won again in Georgia.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no, they continue to win. It's remarkable that
I'm trying there for 20 years, John. We'll keep trying.
yeah, well, and I think Texas is still technically on the board, but given everything that's happened there with some other forms of gaming, I just see Texas not being a reality in this session. But I think, as advocates for the game, like we recognize this is a not, a swing and a miss and you're totally out of the game. It's a swing and a miss and you get up to bat again in an inning later. So we have to recognize that, we may not succeed every time, but there's always another chance. There's always opportunity to refocus our engagement in a way that's more meaningful for the lawmakers, that brings more consensus together. And that's kind of what I'm focused on as an advocate for this industry.
Wonderful. Brendan, with the last word.
The last word, John, I hope you're right about my Cornhusker state. I'll agree with you that we'll see it on the ballot, but as we've talked, that brings its own perils along the way for a host of reasons. And I know that I've said before, the hearing this week was much better than the one back in August. So it's better, but we still got a long road to hoe.
Well,
So.
I'll tell you this, a conversation with Brendan on Nebraska is not one that's short. That is always a long conversation, Brendan. That's what I know about Nebraska. John, thanks for joining us.
John, thanks for joining.
John,
Absolutely.
I didn't realize we hadn't had you on the show, actually. So thanks for coming on the show. Great to have you.
Anytime.
This has been another episode of the World Series of Politics podcast with your host, Brent Iden, Brendan Bussman.
You've been listening to the World Series of Politics podcast with Brendan Bussman and Brent Iden. We'll be back at the starting line very soon. This has been an IGB production. For the latest news, views, analysis, and data on the global gaming industry, head to iGamingBusiness.com.